Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Tim and Guy here, and welcome to The Worst Idea of All Time, Season 5.
This season we are watching the French-originated softcore pornography series, Emmanuel.
Because why not?
These films contain some anachronistic and downright problematic scenes from time to time.
Which we will not be discussing, to keep our podcast a stupid and friendly place to be.
Also, you do not need to watch these films, as always. So just enjoy the show.
We're watching the movies, so you don't have to. Happy listening, everybody.
Listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue. Like him, inside and outside. Blue his house with the blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, because he ain't got nobody to listen. Hello and welcome along.
I didn't think I'd enjoy that, but I actually really did.
To the third installment in the Emmanuel series. We've just watched a 1977 French softcore erotica movie directed by François Letellier called Goodbye, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Goodbye, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, goodbye.
Oh. Serge Gainsbourg.
Yeah, it's they very proudly claim that he scores the film. It seems
in
to
the
me,
credits, which are in French, he's the third name on there.
He provided one song that they used, also like somehow both liberally and sparingly.
Yeah, that's true. Here's the search. The hours are hour. The movie's an hour 40. And there's very sparse soundtracking, but whenever the soundtracking is on, it's just like a different part of one four-minute song that he made for the movie.
This movie starts with a bang. It's got... It does not start with a bang. In fact, one thing I would say for this entry into the softcore library of Emmanuel films is this film is not really... So it's not really a porno at all.
It's not a porno.
This is a relationship drama.
Yeah, it is.
This is literally the fallout of the first two movies.
It's a relationship drama where sometimes you see nipples.
Yeah. And you see Jean, you see Emmanuel's husband Jean, you see his scrotum.
Oh, yeah, barely.
No, the eagle-eyed amongst us, they saw that.
Yeah. I didn't see any shaft, though.
Nah, you'll never see Sharp. Pretty much, we left Emmanuel and Jean in Hong Kong previously, and I suppose things were okay?
Things were looking up. We had discovered the pleasures of a woman. What was the subtitle? Something
called,
like that.
Yeah.
Something of a woman.
The joys.
Joys of a woman. So the first movie's all about Emmanuel's Initial Steps of Sexual Liberation.
Yeah,
thank you so much. And then the second film is, I guess, about her discovering her bisexuality.
She's bisexual in the first one. I think it's more like a celebration. The first one, Chance the Discovery. The second one is a celebration. Jean remains her husband through all three of these films.
But like the Bond franchise, sometimes they change the actor.
Yes.
And I reckon the occupation. Because in this one, someone goes, your husband Jean, is he a public servant? And I'm like, me, Tim, I'm like, yeah, he's a fucking diplomat for the French government. Because he is. And then Emmanuel says no. And I was like, what? And then she says, he's an architect. And I was like, what?
He is an architect.
He's not an architect in the other movies.
He's an architect of...
He is an architect of diplomacy.
He's an architect of threesomes. That's what he is. Here's a guy who loves to fuck. And more specifically, he doesn't abide the concept of jealousy.
Sorry, my dog has joined the chat.
Yeah, yeah.
He just knocked the microphone out of the way to make room for himself.
Well, so long as Rufus is here, we might as well dip into a very early boner patrol. Rufus.
Yo. It's cool that he knows his name, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Rufus, did you become aroused at any point in this film by any of the humans or sparingly shot animals?
No, he's gone all shy.
Typical. Nor did I. To be honest, this movie had a handful of sex scenes in it, and I could have used less.
Really?
Yeah.
Because at one point in the film, you said there's not enough sex in this movie.
No. I said there were these scenes where they were building up to what was obviously about to be a sex scene. And yeah. I'd say, I would happily take the cut now.
Yeah.
Trust that these people have sex.
Right. And then do some other stuff.
Well, you just know it's an hour 40 and it's...
Hey, this movie sucks.
Yeah. It's in a beautiful location.
It was shit, though. It was boring and it was badly shot and terribly edited. And thank God Serge Gainsbourg was there so I could just spend a lot of time hoping that they'd bring the soundtrack back.
Filmed in Seychelles. Seychelles? Off the east coast of Africa. These beautiful...
Now, why was the Seychelles in the news recently? I think maybe... Is it a tax haven or something? It was in the news for some reason.
Really?
But neither Guy nor I knew where the Seychelles were, and it turns out it's sort of just above Madagascar.
Do you say archipelago?
Yep.
Yeah.
When I nail it, which is not often.
It's an archipelago of 115 islands in the Indian Ocean off East Africa. It's home to numerous beaches, coral reefs, and nature reserves, as well as rare animals such as the giant Aldebra tortoises.
And we saw them. We got treated to these beautiful big old tortoises.
Only a couple so briefly.
Of them. They were so cool. We got told that they were 100 years old and that they would lay eggs and bury them in the sand. And I was like, cool, I learned something. I didn't know that turtles buried their eggs in the sand.
Didn't you? There's a book by Lindley Dodd about a turtle who's trying to get to the sea. And it starts, all the other ones have hatched and they've crawled out of the sand. And from that book, I knew. Although I am now conflating turtles and tortoises. So who's to fucking say?
Yeah, it was also different.
My personal highlight of the film. Pretty much, here's the basic plot.
It comes, everybody. Look out. Guy's going to synopsize for you. Goodbye, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel is seemingly enjoying the freedom afforded to the open relationship she has with Jean and their marriage. They're bouncing around, having sex with different people, talking about them, sort of teeing up sexual encounters with other people.
For themselves and each other.
Everything seems to be good, although you do get the sort of feeling that some of this is ringing hollow or
it's not as cool.
It's not as satisfying or cool as you might imagine. And Emmanuel eventually, Jean... who seems to get as much out of these sexual dalliances as Emmanuel does, sort of keeps teeing up these beautiful European tourists for Emmanuel to have sex with. And Emmanuel goes and takes a Swedish man down to what's meant to be like a plot of land where he might want to build a house, but instead they just nip down to the rocks that border the ocean and they start getting to. And then there's this ship going by and there's this really handsome guy holding up a film camera, and you see through the lens of the camera he's trained in on Emmanuel and the Swede who are about to go hammer and tongs, and Emmanuel stares at him and through the lens he stares back and you're like, wow, this is eroticism. There's some sort of voyeuristic, you know, something's afoot here. And anyway, she goes home, she tells Jean, she says, I banged the Swede But I tell you who really got me going was this fucking guy with a camera.
This fucking guy.
And they're having sex. And Jean's like, keep thinking of the guy with the camera. And Emmanuel's like, yeah. And then she goes, finds the guy with the camera.
Actually exactly how she sounds as well. It's freaky, man.
They go,
yeah.
They bang. They have a terse conversation afterwards.
Think of the man with the camera. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. She does my voice. And then they do that. They have a little falling out. And pretty much she can't get this guy out of her head the whole time. And this represents a shift in the relationship dynamic between Jean and Emmanuel. Previously, they'd have these relationships. Both of them would be open-minded and cool with it. And they sort of exist in this amoral, but just this emotionally free state where they don't seem to become invested, or like they maintain a pretty healthy open relationship. It appears to me.
It appears to all of us.
But there's some sort of tension post-coitus between Emmanuel and this director, whose name was Gregory, where she can't get him out of her head. And eventually she has to close the loop. So she goes and revisits Gregory, and their tension, it turns out, was that there's a more deep-seated emotional bond, and they have to explore this. And the outcome of this is that she's in love with Gregory and actually leaves Jean. So that's the synopsis. That's the long and short of it.
Well done, buddy. That was good.
Within this, though,
yeah,
and this is in reference to tortoises, and also this is my highlight, this is my shining light of the film, we meet a very old, immensely problematic, crazy British guy.
I'm gutted you're taking this as your shining light.
Who lives on
it. It's undeniably the best bit of the film.
I called it straight out of the gate. I said, I like this guy.
Yeah.
They're on one of the 115 small islands of the archipelago of Seychelles. And he obviously lives there, and he's like, I say, he does, like, he's got a very thick British accent inside of his French accent. He's like, bonjour. And then he continues to say, he goes, fuck me, your wife is beautiful. You want to film a house? Come over to my place. And he brings him over to his place.
Imagine that in French, but the exact same intonation.
And he's the worst actor I've seen in the franchise this whole time. I love him. Anyway, they get to the house. He starts saying some pretty bad stuff.
So let me tell you all about my late wife.
Yeah.
We lived in bliss and happiness for many years, till one day on a fishing expedition where she nipped her finger as we were dismembering a shark we caught.
No.
And then the blood drew other sharks.
Better yet. It's very unlikely. Eaten by a shark. There were some people dismembering a tortoise and the blood drew a shark. And I watched her get eaten by the whole thing. And you're like, fuck.
And Guy and Tim are going, wow, wow, wee, wow. What a story.
This anecdote has come out of nowhere. And obviously, it's devastating. This guy's lost his wife. But it's
quite a sensational story.
Fucking rules. And it only gets better because then Emmanuel and Gregory go to fly off. They know the pilot who's going to take them on this small charter plane back to wherever they came from. And like, oh, we met this fucking legend.
Yeah.
This old British guy. And
this poor widower.
Yeah, and the pilot's like,
the guy's like, Susan's not dead.
Yeah.
She just shacked up with another dude, and he refuses to make his peace with it. So he tells everyone she got eaten by a shark in one bite.
It was honestly the most enjoyable insert in the whole film.
It's very funny to overshoot so much when you get hurt to make up a sensational lie about what happened rather than actually deal with your problems.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun way to deal with things. A big sensational lie. An unbelievable one. Eaten by a shark. Do you know how many people get eaten by a shark, IRL?
How many?
Very few. It's not zero, but it isn't a lot.
Do you think sharks tabulate the data on how many of those motherfuckers get killed by us every year?
Man, they should. They really should.
If you watch the movie Deep Blue Sea from the perspective of a shark,
yeah,
ultimately it's upsetting. But for a minute there, you're like, fuck yes, finally.
Is Deep Blue Sea the one where they make the shark super intelligent?
Yeah, it's got one of the
Is LL Cool J in it?
Yes, he's got a parrot, but it's got one of the coolest movie deaths of all time in it, which is Samuel L. Jackson. Like, everyone keeps getting eaten by these sharks, and they start infighting, and Samuel L. Jackson delivers this really rousing speech where he's like, come on, you motherfuckers, we got to look out for each other. We are not going to let these sharks beat us. And right as he like delivers that fire and defiant thing, this massive shark comes up from behind him and just fucking chomps him in two.
God damn, that's cool.
It is. I think it's actually recognized as one of the great movie deaths.
Really? I saw Deep Blue Sea at the Flicks, I think, on the big screen. I think I was like too young to appreciate it for what it was, which is a kind of big silly film.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was looking at it and I was like, well, this is silly. But the filmmakers were probably looking at it being like, yeah, you asshole. Of course it is.
Yeah.
It's about super intelligent sharks killing people in some
living
sort
in
of
like an
submarine laboratory.
Yeah. It was awesome. Do you know what was wrong with Goodbye Emmanuel beyond what you've outlined, which is cinematography and editing?
I hadn't outlined those, but we did talk about it extensively during this film.
I think you said it. You said it looks like shit and the editing's bad.
Okay.
Believe in yourself.
I'm sorry.
It's set in reality. It's grounded in reality. The first two movies, it's like these beautiful European layabouts, these diplomats who go to these foreign embassies and just fuck one another to their heart's content. And then in this one, it's like, hey, what would happen if there was an emotional fallout from all of these open-minded people having sex with each other? And instead of concentrating on the sex they have with each other, we just follow the emotional journey of a husband and wife in peril. And that's exactly what happens.
I paid to go to the cinema for this.
An hour and 40, yeah.
This is very close to my actual life.
How am I meant to jerk off to these micro tensions?
It's an exploration of jealousy in particular in this movie, which is, I can tell you now, the wrong way to go with a softcore porno.
Yeah.
And
it's not very arousing to be like, God damn it, there are consequences to actions.
Yeah. That's the thing, eh? These are supposed to be all about like fantasy and escapism, which is why I can't wait for us to get out of planet Earth with this franchise.
I know. Well, this was intended to be the third... The first three Emmanuel films meant to be recognized as a trilogy.
Really?
So, yeah. So, this was the closing of
That makes sense.
A chapter.
But they've still got... what's her name again? Sylvia something?
Sylvia Christel.
She does 7 of them, I understand.
I'm not 100%. I wouldn't be surprised if she did not appear in the next Emmanuel film, if we moved on to a different Emmanuel. And then she... I can't remember, but I think she reappears... But I think that this chapter of the Emmanuel franchise is
done. They really ended with
a
whimper. Because the first two, like, for what they are...
You didn't give me your boner patrol, by the way.
Boner patrol to 0 from Tim.
Were you...
In this film.
What was the most titillating scene?
Probably the bit where they are copulating on a beach. Shouldn't say copulating.
Can say copulating.
It's kind of not what it is, though, is it? Copulating to me suggests it's so scientific that it suggests there would be babies as a result. Maybe there is.
To copulate. I didn't find that scene super erotic. I found it very, like, beautiful.
This is when...
Beautiful and tender.
Emmanuel is having sex on a beach with Gregory after she's chased him down. Gregory
they
is
don't
the,
say Gregory like that, by the way.
Gregory!
They say Gregory.
Emmanuel bursts in the door and says, Gregory, let's have sex on the beach. And he says, all right, governor. Nah, that's the older dude.
Oh, you're right. Copulation is very scientific.
Mm.
In zoology, copulation is animal sexual behavior in which a male introduces sperm to the female's body, especially directly into her reproductive tract. Jesus.
Yeah. That's science, baby. That's what sex is. That's what we're watching
copulation.
Here.
Copulation. I didn't think it was so scientific. I thought there was more play in that word.
It's quite funny to boil down this pornographic film to its constituent scientific parts. But that bit, because it was low light, you know? Now, I'm going to say this. This isn't very entertaining, but this is part of why I thought it looked like absolute fucking dog shit, this movie. It had a approach to filmmaking, which is, all right, we've got to show them being in a car traveling somewhere. We'll just make that very obvious. And they do things like, for the shutterbugs among the listenership, they have like a quite closed off aperture, it seems to me. So everything in the foreground and the background is all in focus. There's no separation of subject and background. If you in the first two films, they do this a lot. They've got like extreme close-ups of faces, like occupying the entire screen, so you really can like capture someone's emotion and almost in a narrative in a way.
Why don't you marry the cinematography from the first two films, bro?
Would that I could. They're probably dead. It was the 70s. This is a long time ago. Plus, I assume they smoked so many cigarettes working on these Emmanuel movies that there's no way they've survived.
I'm not saying the cinematographers. I'm saying the cinematography itself.
Ah, well, my barrier to that guy would be you cannot marry a concept.
Oh, fuck.
Yet.
I've been humiliated.
But when you have a wide open aperture, which is when you get the iris of the lens... I think, well, the lens, maybe it's the bit on the camera as well, and you open that right up so it lets all the light in, you can get a far more separated subject matter from the background. You get that, it's called bokeh, is the blur that you get in the background. You get that separation. But this whole movie is just like, yeah, we'll stick a camera here, we'll show them going there. Yeah, we'll stick a camera in front of this person and show them going there. There's no art.
Yeah,
it's just, it's
you
just
couldn't
like
argue it doesn't tell you where you are.
Big pun?
You couldn't argue that this is a movie that doesn't tell you exactly where you are.
Yeah, but I don't care to know. Like, fucking sex it up
so
for me.
What, and what did you enjoy then by turn about the sex on the beach?
Sex on the beach was in low light, and it was, like, I thought it was pretty well framed.
It was too low light.
Yeah, it was too
low light.
It's
daytime. There was a lot of... Tuesday morning. I was squinting to make out the screen. And then also...
Oh, you mean it's Tuesday morning for us watching the film?
Oh, it could have been Tuesday morning for them. But also, like...
There are a few scenes like that, eh? Not enough light.
They're overcome with, you know, emotion, and they're very... they're not just sexually attracted to each other. For a rare instance in the Emmanuel franchise, there's a genuine emotional attraction and draw that goes beyond just lust. But
here's the thing.
Who fucks in the ocean?
It's, as our friend Reese Matthewson says in one of his great jokes, water is a famously excellent lubricant.
Salt water, no less.
Indeed. Tricky, cold, I would imagine. They're fucking around there in the ocean for a long time without any clothes on.
It looks warm where they are, though.
It does look very warm, actually.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
The location, this made me want to travel to Seychelles so badly. Just beautiful turquoise, azure water, stretching out in front of golden sands.
Honestly, they're tortoises, man.
Open air, teak homes.
Yeah.
Fantastic little cars, delicious food. The experience is second to none.
Jean, in this film, 90% of the time, very cool, very chill dude.
We were rooting for him initially.
I was rooting for him big time. Because Jean is all about making sure his wife is happy. That's what I get from this guy. He's like, and he derives joy from her joy. I feel like that's the whole kind of thing with the relationship. But then it turns... And he, out of nowhere, just gets incredibly jealous of Gregory. And they actually come to blows in the sort of start of the third act.
I agree with you to an extent, but I think there's a moment in this movie which represents the idea that maybe Jean is taking possibly not just as much but more from these dalliances. He finds the idea of Emmanuel's physical attraction. Like, everyone in these movies are beautiful, but they hinge on the idea that Emmanuel is sort of otherworldly.
A demigod of
her
sexuality.
Her beautiful transcends normalcy. And I feel like, you know, her physical acknowledgement of this and having sex with anyone she wants to is a real fucking wheel spinner for Jean. And I feel like part of the reason that she leaves is that she's liberating herself from this. And like, you know, the idea that liberation is an open relationship. Liberation for some people might be monogamy. It could be anything.
Or it could be no relationship in
That's
the case
right.
of Emmanuel. So well, what but are we she, meant to
she leaves.
Is she chasing Gregory?
Yeah, she leaves for Gregory. She's in love with Gregory. And like at the end, Jean is doing all these sort of devious acts. Gregory's trying to get a hold of her. He's going, I've got to leave. My film's been scrapped. His film looked like total shit, by
the
way.
His film, I will put money on it, would suck ass. And I don't think it was going to be
any good. And the funding gets pulled.
It gets pulled. The film's fucking off. And he's running around the Seychelles looking for locations to shoot in. Never finds one.
He's shown
up. Wasting so much time. It's what you get a location scout for, my dude.
I know.
I'm pretty sure he's the director.
Well, he seems to be everything.
Yeah, he's got the... That's right, he's just
a real
fucking around with
the
camera.
The Neil Breen of 1977.
He's got the camera, and he's just, like, wasting film, taking footage of Emmanuel and Gregory having sex on the beach at the start. The Swede. Whose name, we never get, and we never need. Do we need the Swede's name? Absolutely not.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
1977 was a big year.
Go on.
Do you know what happened around the time this movie was released?
No.
Orlando Bloom was born.
Huge.
Alongside?
Yeah.
Shakira.
Orlando Bloom, that makes him a little older than I thought, but I guess that tracks.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar.
How's my that, first true love.
How's that for a cluster of celebs?
I love Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Also, in France, they performed their last ever execution by guillotine.
That seems very late
yeah,
for that to be happening. Do you see,
it's I'm one, glad you it's see, one Orlando Bloom ago.
I'm glad that you're saying guillotine. Because a lot of people say guillotine, which may be correct, but it really like throws me.
Guillotine. That's it.
Does it have two L's in it?
Yeah.
Because I know in Spanish, when you get two L's, you pronounce it as a Y.
I call it the guillotine.
The guillotine, because you're such a big fan of chopping people's heads off.
Also, the release of the Atari.
Sick. Which one?
In North America. 2600.
The 2600. And 2600.
Yeah, same number. Elvis Presley died at 42.
On the toilet.
Yeah, on the can.
Poor guy. Elvis got so fucking boned. Do you know, he like had to constantly be touring in America because he should have been touring internationally. But his manager, who was an asshole, had some like thing with his passport where he couldn't go overseas. So he just stopped Elvis from internationally touring and kept him doing those like residencies.
This
sort of, that's that are
horrible.
In Vegas
this
and
is
stuff.
Rife in the entertainment industry. I actually got quite deep into a free hashtag free Britney.
Let's talk about
recently.
It.
So Britney Spears, it seems to me that her entire entertainment enterprise is controlled by her father.
Well, yeah, because he's got the conservatorship, right?
Yeah. And he, like, she's obviously had mental health battles, yeah. But is of sound enough mind that she can take control for her life. But he continues to push the narrative that she is not of sound mind, so that every single decision she makes within her life has to be signed off by him, which is why all of her videos take place in her home. I mean, I don't know how. I've only read very, you know, I've
it seems legit, though. I tell you what, the Free Britney movement seems legit.
Absolutely.
I'm really worried about Britney.
As well you should be.
We've been worried about Britney for a long time. It's a tragic life of Britney Spears, really. It seems very sad to me. Like, you and I were at a fucking awesome party, little get-together at, randomly, a place I used to live. So Guy and I went to the Beths, great local band.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then afterwards, we went to a friend's house, and I'd never been to their house before, and I was waiting for someone because they were waiting for an Uber, so I was making sure they got in there. And I got the guy to text me the address. He texted me the address. It was my old flat. Randomly.
Such a beautiful home.
We went there and we played a karaoke game, and one of the friends did the Britney Spears song Lucky, and god damn, it made me think a lot about Britney's life.
Yeah.
She's transmitting her pain into those lyrics direct from her heart to my ears. And I felt very sad thinking about Britney Spears.
The game is called Callum's Favorite Game, and yeah. It is great fun.
It's truly sensational.
You put on
full
a pair
credit,
of...
this game was conceived of by Callum Devlin.
That's right.
Who is a legend, responsible for multiple fantastic music videos, and also this game, and also Loud Cooking, which is a segment on my live
That's
streaming
right.
web show, Happening, which is on hiatus.
Anyway, Callum Devlin, I was trying to find his Twitter handle while he said all of that,
it's
but
Sports
I can't.
Team Sports.
Sports Team Sports.
Well, that's their, where they make music videos. It's like their production company.
Well, this is all to say that the game is, you've got noise-canceling headphones. It was so full on. It was about 3 a.m. It was late. Everyone was winding down. He said, it's time to play Callum's favorite game. And everyone said, no. And he said, okay, here's what happens. You put on headphones and everyone sits and watches you while you perform karaoke to a song only you can hear. And everyone said, that sounds really full on. And then Callum's partner, Annabelle, while dragging chairs across the lounge, said, yep, it's really full on and everyone's bad at it. And then Callum turned the lights off, put on a bossa nova track, danced while performing a light show for 3 minutes,
yeah.
And then sang, what was the song?
I can't remember.
Neither can I.
I don't know. It doesn't matter, though. It was a sensational experience, and it was one of those things that you need the perfect number of people for, and as long as everyone really throws themselves into it, you just have a rollicking good time.
It was a sensation.
A great game. Truly a great game. Do you reckon Emmanuel and Jean and Gregory could have worked this out if they had played Callum's favourite game? I reckon they could have.
I don't think they could have.
I reckon that would have been the bridge over these troubled waters. Truly.
I just think, I think the right outcome was reached. I think Jean has a lot of soul searching to do. He presented as a cool, relaxed, confident guy, but literally as soon as anything fell outside of his comfort zone, he wigged out. Like,
yeah.
He presented this really, it's sort of quite, this really open-minded, like, I'm okay as long as, you know, they would keep saying, as long as they're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah.
But that did not turn out to be the case.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, and ultimately, is that a huge surprise? Everyone's got their own life to live. A relationship is... What is a relationship, Tim?
It's two people or more.
But that's what are you giving in a relationship? Not you specifically, but the concept of a relationship. What do you give to form a healthy relationship?
Love.
That's it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, there's so many different kinds of relationship. It's too broad a question. You could have a relationship like Emmanuel and Jean, where it's a kind of love. They even say that at the end of the movie, they were like, what do they say? They're kind of like, Jean is taken off guard by the fact that he is jealous of this blossoming relationship.
He is caught by surprise.
With Gregory. And he says, I thought we were past this kind of love in our relationship.
And he also said, "What, you know, if this happens now, it undermines the value of everything that's come before."
Is that? Oh, I missed that bit.
Words to that effect.
A lot of subtitles. We embarked on the film initially. We had options this time, which was kind of nice. The first film we watched with subtitles in the original French. The second film we watched
without subtitles.
Without subtitles
in the original
nor
French.
Dubbed. Yeah. So just the original French with no understanding of French. This third film we started watching.
Dubbed in English.
Not for me. No good.
No, dubs are bad.
Dubs are horrible, eh? And the good thing about subs over dubs till I die, they force you to pay attention to the film. Because you got to be reading to be engaged. And what do you need to do to read? You need to look at the screen.
Mm.
You cannot look away. What do you think of this decision of this season of the podcast where we're doing a new movie each time, and that movie happens to be in this film franchise?
I think we've made a huge mistake, and I look forward to living with it.
Yeah, that's usually the case with this thing, isn't it? What do you think is... Let's try and make a guess for what happens next for Emmanuel. Do you think she meets Gregory? Because I reckon she absolutely doesn't.
No, they'll sort of... I think they'll dispatch of the through lines that have been constructed. And just knowing that this is meant to be the closure of a trilogy.
Do you think she'll enter the French space program in preparation for the Emmanuel in space series?
Oh, I shudder to think what we'll live through. I don't think they're going to go straight to space. It's going to remain grounded on land.
What have we had so far?
I'd like
been
to see them in
Thailand,
Paris,
Hong Kong, and now
Seychelles.
Seychelles, sorry. And now where do you want to go?
Paris, France.
Bye.
I would love to just be on this. Like, one thing these movies do make you want to do is
travel. Especially at the moment.
Yeah.
We're not going to be doing that for a little while.
Ooh, travel is illegal. It is. Rightly so.
Have you been to France?
Yes.
Have you spent time in Paris?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
Beautiful.
Did it make you want to star in a softcore pornography?
No. And I didn't. And so if you do look it up, you won't get any hits because I didn't. It was beautiful. The food was fantastic. The people were friendly. You know, a lot of really professional crew members, fantastic DOP.
Crew members.
Great gaffers.
What were you shooting?
What was I shooting?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't shooting anything, Tim. I was shooting my mouth off, trying to speak French, having croissants, having a good time, mixing and mingling with the locals.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What did you spend most of your time doing while you were in Paris?
I spent a lot of time on filming the surrounds so I could watch them back after the fact and reminisce.
Do people call you Guy Montgomery?
Guy.
Is that how Guy is in
spelt G-U-Y, pronounced Guy.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah. It was great. And I didn't film anything. So, but I would love to go there in this franchise.
One of the things I'm taking away from this is a travel show.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
I think it would be nicer for you if we just sat down and watched some travel TV.
Literally couldn't agree more.
What the fuck is it called? The Travel Channel? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I haven't owned a television. Let's do the math on this. When was the last time I had a TV? Probably like 3 flats ago.
Remember that?
It was about 7 years ago.
When that was a defining personality trait?
Not having a TV.
Yeah. We don't do TVs.
We don't watch TV.
What do you do? Fucking make up your own dialogue? These are professionals. They work day and night perfecting how people talk. And you're telling me you're just going to dismiss all of that?
Pretty bullshit, man. It's quite rude, if anything. People put a lot of work into it.
Yeah. Disrespectful.
Least we could do is watch. You know?
Yeah, you got to watch everything ever made.
What's the future of entertainment, Guy? I feel like we had our traditional television. Before that, we had Emmanuel. Now we have the internet age where we're consuming quick bites, I believe. What are they called? Quibi. Quick bites, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what happens when you give Jeffrey Katzenberg $1 billion.
He's had it. He earned that money. That's his money.
Yeah.
There's undeniably, indisputably his money that he fucking pissed away on a
Fair
great
enough.
Idea for a platform.
You earn the money, you piss the money away. Mm. I actually read, I don't know if this is allowed, but it was a really interesting concept that was introduced. I was reading a book when I woke up this morning. It's called Ant Kind.
You make it sound like you woke up and you were reading a book.
It's by,
like you were sleep reading a book and you came to and you were like, whoa.
I was. It's the debut novel from Charles Kaufman, who's the filmmaker who did Being John Malkovich. And he's an interesting guy. And it's a really interesting novel. And there's a character who's describing, who's like talking about how memory is... Like, your memories or what you reminisce on is only as reliable as what you imagine the future to be. Like, the only thing that we have our actual finger on the pulse of is the present. Like, your memories and the future are both equally. And he was describing in his life what everyone's going to be talking about in, say, 30 or 40 years. And it's this thing called, I believe, Brainio. And it's instead of television, we have these chips in our brain. Or we have, like, we're broadcast directly into our brain these stories. And they're almost like pick-a-pass, where it's like you can insert, you can watch something that's just beamed specialized to your brain, tailored to what you enjoy in entertainment, or a version where you are inserted within the story. So you're watching out these narratives that take place in your own shows, and it's all transmitted and exists within your brain.
That fully seems like that is exactly where we would be going.
Yeah.
That seems real to me.
Yeah.
Shit. Is it like a scary book, or is it chill?
Because
you know how
it's not scary.
You know the movie Her, where you could interpret it and be like, that's terrifying. But the whole movie's like, this is kind of chill. Don't worry about it. Yeah. It's just some AIs fucking around. They're definitely not going to liquefy your insides to use as an energy source.
The movie is... The book, sorry, is it's neither scary nor chill. Like, it's not super chilled. It's quite a...
Unsettling?
Not unsettling, but just unusual.
Mm-hmm.
The rhythms and, like, you know, the characters, and there are all these sort of moments that put you slightly off balance, but not in a scary way, just in like, what? I'm feeling a bit fucking...
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Oh, crazy sound. Did you get that?
Yeah.
That was cool, man. Now the soundboard's on board. One thing I do like about these Emmanuel movies, and I know that we bring this up with all the films we watch, but you have to when you have to watch movies, is the duration. This one knocked it out of the park with, from memory, an hour and 41 minutes.
That's right.
And I believe that included credits. And that's always good. The one thing that I will grab as my shining light, because you grabbed the old man who made up a story about his wife being eaten by a shark, is undeniably the soundtrack. It kicked so much ass. It was so good.
The soundtrack, which was just really one soundtrack, also the font choice, that the credits, the opening and closing credits, use the same font, the same color. It's this beautiful pink, and it's quite an of its time font. It's very 70s.
Happy as, man. It's real happening.
I feel like this movie represents, I don't know, like the late 70s is probably hippiedom is on the wane, the height of free love. And so this movie almost represents the idea that there is an expiry date on everything, and that maybe free love is not the way forward.
Didn't they say that like 1969 was when it all died?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm making that up.
I've had sex since 1969, Tim.
Have you?
Yep.
Wild.
I'm fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. There were some other bits that happened in the film too, which we kind of glossed over and haven't talked about. There is the scene where Gregory and Jean come to blows, and that was happening. There was sort of a cultural dance outside by a forest that was happening. What else we got? There was a bit where an ox draws a cart, which Emmanuel and Gregory are in. Did you miss that? Huge ox, a land beast.
Don't remember it vividly.
Horned and carrying them on its back via a cart.
Ox is a great word to play in Scrabble if you're stuck with an X.
Yep. What's the difference between ox and oxen?
Singular and plural?
Oh, okay.
Look at that ox. Look at those oxen. Look at those oxes.
Look at that oxen. Look at all those chickens.
Look at all those mice. Look at all those mouses. Not a word.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oxen is the
fish.
Plural. Fishes. Yeah.
Fishes doesn't exist.
It's all a thing.
Sheeps.
Yep.
Doesn't exist.
You've also got that correct. I'm kind of gutted that we won't see Jean again in this franchise, because in spite of the fact that, you know, 10% of this movie, he was a real piece of shit, there was a lot of good stuff about him. And I liked that he played it pretty cool through most of the thing. And he seemed in some ways kind of selfless. And also the fact that he walked into his house and said, "Good morning, make me a drink." And then received, at what I estimated to be 10:45 a.m., a Long Island iced tea, one of the strongest of all possible cocktail combinations. There's something about being in the Seychelles and getting fucking blind drunk before noon.
This guy was, for a moment there, truly living his dream.
When's he doing the architecting?
Mate, he's fucking setting up threesomes left, right, and center. What if I told you that Jean, as played by Umberto Orsini, is alive today?
I would be amazed.
How old would you guess that person to be?
Right now, today, he's 80.
Six.
He's 6 years old? That's fucked up, dude.
Born in a leap year.
Time traveler. Born in a leap year. They're kind of... Oh, no, he'd still be 24, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'd be young. He'd be really young.
What's he up to? Tell me about this man.
He's just an acclaimed actor. In 2008, he was nominated to David Di Donatello for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Il Mattino Allora in Bocca. In 1969, he was awarded with the Nastro d'Argentino for Best Supporting Actor for his performance in Visconti's The Damned. He was actually in the throes of a very successful film career by the time he got into Emmanuel.
Huh. Do you think a bit, like, are the French just a lot cooler than the Americans? Because that's the other big cinematic kind of, you know, house that we've got to compare to. Do you think the French are just a lot cooler? Or do you think that that first Emmanuel movie really was quite a risky maneuver for all involved?
I think it was risky. I think both. Both are true. I think the French are cooler. I think it was probably still quite a risky thing.
Mm.
First one to embrace its X rating and say, "This is, you're right. We're not going to hide it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're making.
We're hiding the penis, but not
and
the X rating.
Over 2 million people are going to come down to the cinema and they're going to fucking love it."
Yeah, 2.2 million ticket buyers and just in France. Blows my mind, man.
Get your hand off it, France.
Put your hand back on it, France. You do you. Just don't get jealous when someone else also puts their... I don't know what the equivalent... I'm trying to link it to the film, you see, guy.
Don't overthink it.
This movie, for me, gets a 4 out of 10. Rescued a lot. Like, it would be probably a 2. Rescued quite a... Well, nah, you know what? I'm going to give it a 5. This is important to me. It's getting a 5 out of 10. Killer soundtrack that we very rarely hear. The acting, and I'm thinking back to what you've said previously, a little bit hard to discern when people are speaking in a language you don't understand, which is the case here.
Aye.
So I'm going to give them some benefit of the doubt, but not the whole way. 5 out of 10 for the film. That's compared to way higher ratings, which I think I gave out of 5 for the previous two.
Yeah.
So not only has the score changed, the very metric itself is different.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch this movie. I have.
Yeah, you did.
But I wouldn't.
Yeah. You wouldn't do it again?
That's my review.
The fucking fabulous thing about this is things might get better this season. We just don't know.
Or worse. Hopefully hornier.
Yeah.
I will not rest until...
I want to sit down with my friend Guy and watch a goddamn horny porno. Is there so much to ask?
A horno. El horno.
Terrible. You got anything else to add before we close
this
off?
Fuck no.
It's really warm in this room, eh? I think it's taken the wind out of our sails slightly.
I think we've done a good job. Let's see if I've got any other news for you from 1977.
Oh, that seems apropos.
Star Wars premieres.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter
takes
over as President of the United States.
Sick. You know what he did?
Grants a pardon to American draft dodgers of the Vietnam War.
That's pretty cool. Also,
warns that Americans need to make profound changes in their oil consumption.
He did do that. And symbolically, put solar panels on the White House roof. Well, not symbolically, like they functioned. They were working. They were just very inefficient. But then, do you know who took them down? Reagan. What a piece of shit.
This guy's awesome.
Carter?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He got boned by the Iran hostage crisis, I think. I think that's what happened.
I don't know.
America was reeling with what had happened with Nixon, right? They were like, this fucking dude. Think about Nixon, he wasn't all bad. He was a bad guy, but he actually did a lot of groovy stuff, in addition to taping everyone at the White House and using the political apparatus against his enemies. But when the American public was exposed to the treachery, the depths of depravity that this man was capable of, and enacting, they were like, we need a good dude. So they found this fucking peanut farmer, Methodist, and they were like, this guy is our guy. And so he got a run at it, and he did a couple of cool things, but I think the system kind of ate him up. This is why that line in The Simpsons, I never really got it as a kid, but when they refer to Jimmy Carter as history's greatest monster, it's a pretty fucking funny joke.
Yeah.
He's still alive. He's 97, I think, and he builds houses for humanity to this day.
Yeah, and if you go to Google Jimmy Carter, he's second to Jimmy Carter. You'd be fucking furious.
He's second to Jimmy Carr. The president is second to Jimmy Carr, the comedian.
To British tax-dodging comedian Jimmy Carr.
Did he dodge... Oh, was he in the fucking papers?
Independent of the papers. He got snapped hard.
True.
Yeah.
Don't do it, folks. Pay your fucking taxes. If Emmanuel has taught me anything, pay your goddamn taxes. That's all from me. You done?
I'm done too.
We're good on 1977. We can close that book.
Yeah, nothing else happened. Right. Unbelievable.
All right. Well, we'll be back in the next episode to explore whatever the fuck Emmanuel 4 turns out to be. I'll catch you then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.